I wanted to get on here to release this morning manna. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just come before you this morning. We say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being my King. Thank you for being the righteous one. Thank you, Father. You are good. You're worthy of all the praise. Rose of Sharon, thank you for your mighty acts. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mighty acts. You're so good to your people. You're so kind to your people. And we just thank you. We just thank you for releasing your Holy Spirit upon me this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is just falling fresh on me this morning. I receive your presence. I receive your anointing. I receive every good and perfect gift that you have for me. I receive it. You take pleasure in just blessing me and blessing your servants. You are good to me. You're good to your servants. You're good to your people. You're good to mankind. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And Father, as we move into the courtroom of prayer, Lord, just allow your anointing to be upon your study and on your teaching so that the hearers may be edified. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I am so grateful this morning. Excuse me. I am so grateful for what the Lord has done and what he's doing. He's mighty, guys. He's marvelous. I go to bed thinking about him. I go to bed thinking about him. I go to bed just wondering, Lord, you're just so good. And I just repent for even taking advantage and not even fully understanding who you were in my life. I repent of those things. He is a wonder, guys. And when we look over our life and we see the mishaps, we see the things that we're doing out of our own mindset, guys, when we come into true revelation of the mind of Christ, it will cause us to weep. It will cause us to weep because when he shows us ourselves, when he shows us our imperfections, he doesn't show us these things to bring condemnation on us. He brings us he shows us these things so that we can see where his grace was and where his mercy was extended in our life. And what do? We just want to bow down and say, Lord, you're good. You're good. You're good. And so I bring you to this study that we're going to be talking about this morning. It's in Matthew 26. We're on the kingdom, guys. We're on the kingdom. Kingdom passion. Kingdom forgiveness. How the kingdom is so much different from that of the religious sector. There's a passion when you begin to walk in the kingdom. There's a spirit of forgiveness where you no longer look at the issue of what someone done to you. You begin to look at they need the Lord in their life and would cause you and me to just want to pray for them even all the more. Although things that they do could upset us, can make us mad and cause us to just be like, what is going on? But when we sit in those heavenly places and remain in those heavenly places by the Spirit, we begin to see the need that they need Jesus in their life. So when we look at Matthew 26, we're going to start at verse 6. It says, and when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head, and he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So I want you to look at this in 2024, guys. I'm going to do a comparison and a contrast right here, right now. And when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil, and she poured it on the head of Jesus. In other words, she was not a selfish woman. She had some very costly oil. All that she had, she poured it on the master's head. This was a selfless act. And what the Lord would have me to say to all of us this morning, are we willing to give our best to him? Are we willing to pour out our best fragrant oil on him? Are we willing to give him our best praise and worship? Are we willing to do these things for him? Are we willing to be selfless for our master? He is our master. He is our king. He is Adonai. Are we willing to be selfless for him? This is what you call kingdom compassion. This is what you call kingdom forgiveness. This is what you call wrapped up and tied up in the kingdom. We cannot be people who are selfish, but we've got to be people who are selfless. We got to show ourselves. And the reason why this woman did this, because she had a heart and a compassion for Jesus. Do you have a heart and a compassion for Jesus? Do you, Lenora? Do you have a heart and a compassion for Jesus? Are you willing to give him your best? Are you willing to lay down your flesh so that you can move in the spirit and move into the things of God and be a kingdom-minded believer? This is what he wants. He wants us to give him our all. He wants us to give him our way of thinking. He wants us to give him our mindset so that we can shift from the world's view of who he is into the kingdom view of who he is. He wants us to be kingdom-minded. To be kingdom-minded is to be selfless. To be religious-minded is to be selfish. And I'm going to show it to you right here. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" They did not even know who Jesus was. The woman came in with some costly oil. She laid it and poured it on the master's head because she knew who he was. She had an intimate relationship with him in the spirit, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He delivered her. And so she drew to him. So whatever she had, she wanted to give it to him. But his very own disciples did not even know who they had in their midst. Because their question was, why this waste? They were indignant. See, they had a religious spirit, still had a religious mindset, still religious, didn't even know who Jesus was. And they walking with him. And he had mercy and compassion and grace on his own disciples. They did not even realize what they had said. They said, "Why this waste? Why are you wasting this costly oil on this man's head? We could do something way better with this costly oil." What we could have done, what they said, "For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. Because they did not know that Jesus came to set the captives free. He came for the poor in heart and the poor in spirit. Those who were willing and wanting to get closer to the Lord. They didn't understand. They did not understand, guys. And for them to say, "For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." They did not even know who they were among. Just like we are today, don't know who we are among. We don't know that Jesus is among us. We miss him. We miss him by our selfishness. We miss him by our own way of thinking. We miss him by a religious spirit. We miss him. We miss him. He wants our heart. He wants our intimacy. He wants all that we can offer him that will glorify and bring glory to him. This woman brought glory to the Lord. She brought glory to the Lord when she poured that oil on him. She brought him glory. Verse number 10, but when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. There are many people in this religious realm that trouble, that bring constant trouble to the Lord. They think they're trying to do something to stop you. They think they're trying to do something to hinder you, to halt you, but they cannot do it because Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith and my faith. They can do all the religious rhetoric. They can go and take you before the magistrates. They can do all that stuff. But Jesus said right here, why do you trouble the woman? Why do you trouble those who are really trying to seek my face? Why do you trouble them? Why do you trouble them for worshiping me? Why do you trouble them for wanting to show prophetic acts toward me? See, we show prophetic acts toward the Lord when we worship him with our worship flags. When we have our worship streamers, we worship him. Those are prophetic acts. When we just raise our hand, that's a prophetic act. That's saying, I have victory. But you have religious people who will literally say, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? They shouldn't be doing that. Why are they doing that? And they will go and literally take you before the magistrates or the rulers or the leaders or the pastors of the church and will bring lies and accusations against you. This is what they did. They were bringing accusations against this woman, saying what she was doing was selfish. Why is she doing this? Why is she doing this? Why is she taking this oil, this costly oil, and pouring it on this man's head? For one, they didn't know who Jesus was, although they were walking with him. This proves my point. There are a lot of people that are in these buildings. They're just religious. They don't understand who Jesus really is. If they understood who Jesus really is and was, they would be falling to their knees and saying, thank you for your grace and mercy. When I was in ignorance, you still kept me. You still blessed me. You still did favorable things to me. Now that I've come into the acknowledgement of who you really are, I repent. I repent. I repent. And forgive me, Father, for taking those who were worshiping you because I didn't understand. I took them to the magistrate. I took them to the leaders out of ignorance. Forgive me, Father. See, that's what these disciples should have been doing. But no, what were they doing? Focus is wrong. Wrong focus. Wrong focus. They literally said to Jesus, why? Why did she take this oil and pour it on this man's head when we could have sold it? And Jesus said, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. All that we do for Jesus Christ will last. Only what we do for Jesus Christ will last. Nothing else. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many times you preach. It doesn't matter how many times you're in the building. Only what we do for Christ will last. If our heart is not in the way this woman was in Jesus, everything that we do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This woman was selfless. She took this costly oil and she poured it on the master's head. She poured it on his head. That is what mattered to Jesus. He made record of this. He said, this is what matters to him. He said, she's doing a good work for him. That's what he said. She's doing a good work for me. But yet and still you want to sit here and complain about what she's doing. I'm telling you, we're in an hour now, this spirit of criticism, this spirit of accusation, this spirit of cruelty that is coming from church people. I'm telling you the truth, unless you repent, you're going to feel the fire and the effects, because what people do for God, what people do for God is not an act of being selfish. It's selfless. And when we begin to talk about them like these disciples were doing, why is she doing this? Why is she doing that? Why is she taking this oil pointed on his head? For this oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Their whole agenda was wrong. It was wrong. And then Jesus said, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me." He acknowledged what she did for him. And then we look at verse 11. He says, "For you have the poor with you always. Me, you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." In other words, she was way ahead of the disciples who had been walking with him, by the way, walking with him and didn't even know what was getting ready to take place. But this woman did a prophetic act. She took the oil and she poured it on the Lord's head. And he literally told them, "She is preparing me for my burial." She did a prophetic act and she was being ridiculed for it by the disciples. Because they said, "Why is she doing this? Why is she taking this oil, pouring it on him?" They didn't even know who they were among. Just like many in the church don't know who they're among. They will ridicule. They will criticize. They will say many, many, many cruel things. But Jesus said right here, "For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." He had to explain to them what she was doing. That was a prophetic act, guys. A prophetic spiritual act that she did. She had been in tune with Jesus to the point she took the fragrant oil that was costly and expensive and she poured it on the master's head. She poured it on his head. She had an intimate relationship with him from the spirit, not the flesh, the spirit. And she took that costly oil that was hers and she poured it on his head. She knew who he was, but the disciples walking with him, you know, when you walk with someone that's prestigious, when you walk with someone that's famous, just because you're around them, you're going to get some notoriety. Well, Jesus was doing miracles, signs and wonders, and he had gained favor with the people. And so the disciples were walking with him. And I'm just saying in my mind, because of this very passage right here, were they just walking with Jesus because of what he was doing? Did they really truly know who he was? Because if they knew who he was, they wouldn't have complained about this woman pouring the oil on his head. They wouldn't have said, "Why are you doing that? Why are you taking this oil? We could sell this oil for money and give to the poor," not realizing that Jesus was among their midst. But the woman knew. The woman knew. Why did she know this? Because of who Jesus was in her life, what he had done for her in her life. He says, "For in pouring this oil on my body, she did it for my burial." There was a spiritual attachment that she had with Jesus. The disciples didn't even have that attachment. They did not even have that spiritual attachment, because if they had that attachment, they wouldn't have said, "For this oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." And when they saw her pouring the oil, they were indignant, mad. Indignant means mad. And they were saying, "Why this waste? woman? Why this waste? That is what they were literally saying. They were indignant with her because she took this oil and poured it on Jesus' head. So it is today. You can worship him in your way by waving your hand. You can do prophetic acts, twirling flags, blowing a shofar, a prophetic act that he puts in your heart to do. And you will have religious people sitting around you saying, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? We're not used to that. And they'll take you before the magistrates, which would be the leaders of the church, and say, we don't want her doing that. We don't want him doing that. Why are they even bowed down when it's prayer time? We usually stand up. Why are they bowing down? All that is religious. And it's criticism. And I'm telling you, there's a day of reckoning where God is going to handle those persons who did not handle his children correctly because they're doing prophetic acts of worship from their heart. Just what this woman was doing. Mary was doing, Martha was doing this from her heart. She was doing this from her heart. Mary Magdalene, I'm sorry. She was doing this from her heart. She was doing a prophetic act by pouring that oil on his head. That was a prophetic act. And the disciples were indignant. There's a comparison and contrast right here. You see it. You see it in the churches today. You see it today when people want to worship him the way they want to worship him. There are some religious people that will say, stop doing that. Or they'll give you the evil eye. My word to you is keep worshiping. Do not stop. Keep worshiping. And then verse number 13, this is what Jesus said. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. In other words, this prophetic act that she did from her heart to take her costly oil and pour it on the head of Jesus, he honored what she done. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, or you can just best believe this. You can best believe this. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. A memorial is something that will always be recognized in heaven. And it will also be told on earth. What she did for Jesus by pouring that oil on his head, which was a prophetic act. It was a prophetic act. He said what she did will always be told as a memorial unto her for what she did. In other words, Jesus recognized what she did. He remembered what she did. There is a book of remembrance, by the way. There is a book of remembrance. And the Bible says there is a book of life. There is also a book of remembrance. In other words, everything that we've done from a prophetic act to our worship, it's being recorded. It is being recorded. And God is going to bring that record out. He remembers everything that we do. So oftentimes when I pray, I'll say, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Father. Remember me, Father, when I went down to the prayer house and I prayed those prayers that you told me to pray. Remember me, Father. Well, I can do that. You can do that. Because when the man was on the cross, the two thieves was on the cross. One of the thieves says, Lord, remember me when you enter into paradise. Remember me. So we can ask the Lord to remember us. When we do things for the Lord and are ridiculed, when people ridicule us, he tells us to do these things and we're ridiculed, we can ask him to remember us. Remember how they treated me, Lord. Remember how they treated me. We can ask him to remember us in those ways. because he has a book of remembrance on everything that we've ever done for him. Just like what this woman did. She poured that oil on his head, that costly oil on his head. And the disciples was indignant. They were upset. They were mad because she did a prophetic act of worship to Jesus. So it is today. You can do a prophetic act of worship, and there are going to be people who don't understand, and they will ridicule you. They will say bad things about you. But at the end of the day, just like Jesus said about this woman, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So what I'm saying to you on today, don't let man stifle your worship. Don't let man stifle your prophetic acts that you surrender unto God. It's not about them. It's none of their business. It's between you and God. So if the Lord says, bow down and worship me, do it right now. You obey. If he says, take your flags, and you flag your flags because you're getting the attention in heaven. Never mind what the religious say. You do what God tells you to do. Because it's a memorial unto him. He remembers what you did for him. He remembers what I did and do for him. We're at a time right now, guys, where we must move from this religious mindset of fear and limitations, setbacks, delays, and denials. Religion has done nothing but set back, delayed, and denied. But the kingdom says, come unto me, all you who are wounded, heavy wounded, and heavy laden. He says, take his yoke and learn of him, for his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. All your help comes from the Lord. Do not fear, for what can man do to you? That's kingdom. That's kingdom. That's kingdom, liberty, freedom, walking in your kingdom identity as a king and priest. What this woman did, she was walking in her kingdom identity as a priest and a king, a small k, spiritual. It has nothing to do with gender. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. We are kings and priests. And as a king and a priest, we can worship the Lord, our true king. There's only one king, and his name is Jesus. There's only one king, and his name is Jesus. But I'm going to remind you, as I always will continue to do, because Holy Spirit says, remind them what I did in Revelation 1, remind them what I did. And so we're going to look at Revelation 1, verses 4, 5, and 6. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. That's a small k. We are kings and rulers over this earth. We have dominion. We can subdue it because of who we are in the King, King Jesus. And it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, in his own blood, in his own blood, and has made us and has made us kings, small k, and priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made us kings and priests. So what do kings do? They're freedom. They get their instructions from God Almighty. We get our instructions from our Father. We get our instructions from Him. So we don't have to feel afraid. We don't have to be worried about what they're saying. We don't have to do it. You have been loosed. You have been set free. I have been set free. We have binded the hand of the enemy. We have forbidden his hand to work in our life. We have forbidden it because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we permit everything that Jesus has for us. We permit it to be so in our life. Matthew 18 says, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you forbid on earth, I forbid that spirit of religion. I forbid it right here, right now, that's running rampant in some of the churches that are keeping people stagnant, bound up, full of fear and limited. I forbid that spirit. I forbid it now in the name of Jesus. And I permit freedom in their life. I loose freedom in their life. I permit it to be so in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, the one who died for you, for me, who set us free. We don't have to live in bondage. That woman showed herself not to be in bondage when she took that oil, that costly oil, and she poured it on the master's head. But the disciples, to me, appeared to be in bondage because the Bible says they were indignant. They were in bondage of anger because of a prophetic act that this woman did. But Jesus recorded it and said what she did, it will be recorded. It will be a memorial that anytime we read the word, what she did for the Lord, it will be always, always brought forth. So my last word to you is do what the Lord tells you to do. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be scared. Do not be afraid. Be like this woman who took that costly oil and poured it all on the master's head. She did that. She was a woman. Religious would say she shouldn't have done that because she was a woman. Back in that day, that was not permitted to be so. But she did it anyway. Why? Because of her love for Jesus. Don't allow religion to hold you into limitations where you cannot show your love for your King, for my King, and his name is Jesus. You all have a wonderful day. God bless you. May this word forever penetrate in your heart. May this word penetrate in your soul. Don't be afraid, guys. Don't be afraid. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Share this broadcast. Share it with someone. Let them get loose from their fears. There are so many people have inboxed me and they say, thank you for saying these things. I've always felt this way, but I just didn't know what to do. Pray for me. Pray for me. And I'm going to do that. Because the day of walking in bondage and fear is over. The Lord has loosed you from it. He's untied you from that. God bless you and may you have a wonderful day. And beloved, just know I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be talking about the kingdom. I would not be talking about the kingdom. The Lord wants his people free. He says, let his people be free. Where there's liberty, there's freedom to worship and to praise. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, beloved. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.